Welcome to the VoxGig Developer Relations Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Roger. I speak to people in the software development community about developer relations, public speaking, and community events. I'm the CEO of VoxGig, a software consultancy that builds DevRel tools. Because we believe in the power of community, we host a monthly virtual online meetup for everyone in developer relations. Check out devrelmeetup.com. And visit voxgig.com to view our work, use our tools, and sign up for our newsletter. Okay. Please sit back and enjoy my fireside chat with today's guest. In this episode, I am speaking to Jorge Barahina about his book, DevRel Puzzle, The Hidden Details. While there's a lot of material and a lot of books out there that go into the practical aspects of developer relations, this book takes a much higher level view and looks at the incentive structures that organizations create and how the fundamental purpose of developer relations is to create brand trust for the organization. All right, let's get into it.
Jorge, it is great to have you here on the Fireside with VoxGig podcast. Please tell me that I got your name right.
Yeah. Absolutely right.
All that practice before we started recording. It's an important thing in the world of developer relations. When you did public speaking, you got to practice first. I invited you on here today because you've written a really awesome book about developer relations, which we'll get into in a minute. But let's start with who you are and your history and how you ended up worrying about developers and what they do.
Okay, I'll try to do my best. And I, first of all, apologize for my hard accent. But I hope that everyone can understand my ideas and my thoughts. So I'm an engineer by official title. I go to university, I got some degree. But I spend most of my career working in completely different fields. I mean, front-end, back-end, system administration. Now it's called DevOps, Ops, something like that. And nowadays I'm focused on AI, not for the hype, because I think it's a really interesting field, but it's like some kind of bitter because you have some good stuff out there, but also some deceiving messages.
For sure, right? Yeah, okay. So you called your book The DevRel Puzzle. So yeah. I'm kind of interested, why is DevRel a puzzle?
Because you have to find how to fit the pieces in a very different context. You already hear a lot of DevRels talk about every organization is different. You have different audiences and so on. But one of the things I wrote the book is like I listen to many people, different perspectives and so on. But it sounds to me like the same messages over and over.
That's interesting. Yes.
Yeah. And I want to dig in. Before the recording, I was have a chat with Richard, and I say it's like Matrix. It's like something is wrong.
Yeah.
What happened? I particularly interested in the social side and on all how as human beings communicate and the relationship, the culture, like, because I think it's other topic that people overlook, and they have a lot of influence.
And it seems to me, having spoken to a lot of people in developer relations through the podcast, that people working in the space struggle with incentives. It's incentives for themselves and incentives within their organizations. And it causes a lot of stress, I think. This is one of the topics you cover, which is really fascinating, right? Is the incentive structures.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of exposure because it's not something intuitive. Like there are a lot of people in the field that they are really good-hearted, but sometimes good-hearted is like a synonym of naiveness.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's important. I don't want to sound pessimistic or this is the end of the world or something like that. But I think that we have to be more reflective about ourselves, about how we communicate, and don't take for granted that, because, you know, when you express your ideas, you in your mind is like, it's clear. Yeah. Everybody understands the same thing.
Of course. No.
And that's why I think it's interesting, because you have to be aware that maybe it's very difficult to express effectively what you want to communicate. And also, there are some systems in place in your work or with your friends or something like that, that's called incentives. And you have to be aware and modulate your message, being aware about that kind of situations or scenarios.
You were talking about this thing called the Cobra effect. Maybe explain that a little bit, because that's kind of a fascinating,
it's a
fascinating effect.
Yeah, can you repeat me
the Cobra effect?
Okay. Yeah. The history is really funny.
Yeah.
It was about I don't know the exact the exact time, but it was in India. They have a problem with overpopulation of cobras, and they thought we'll have to do something about it. So they offer that if people comes with a chopped head of a cobra, it will be nice because we can end with the overflow of cobras. But what happened?
They were paying them for the heads, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why the people, instead of killing cobras, they nurture cobras to get more money.
Oh, they started breeding them. So there's more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in summary, it's like good intentions, bad outcomes.
And I mean, I what I love about that story is you can give so many examples of internal systems, especially in large tech organizations, that work exactly that way, right? Like the stack ranking thing where, you know, you end up, if you end up with like a high performing team of really good people, you still have to fire somebody from the team because you have to fire the bottom 20% or some craziness. Or the way Google keeps killing old projects because, from what I hear, the only way to get promoted in Google is a new project.
Yeah. And that's why I try to be rigorous about the sources, and I try to select and pick from their own voices, from people who work in that companies and so on, because we have to tend to, okay, we like some idea and we have to cherry picking the examples to enforce the idea. And I think that this is not honest. That's why I put a lot of QR codes to just listen to this guy or this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, in terms of the stuff that we're doing in companies that have to have developer relations, what do you think we're doing wrong with incentives?
It's
don't say everything.
Yeah.
Let's get into the details, right?
Okay.
What are people doing wrong?
Let's try to have like a 10,000 feet view.
Yeah.
The economic side, for example. There are a lot of companies who are VC funded. So, for example, in Spain, the average survival rate for small companies, VC funded, is like almost 2 years. Mm. In 2 years, you have a lot of investment or average investment or something like that. But where you put the money? In the awareness side, in trying to educate people or something like that. In general, we are human beings are not very well at long-term thinking. And I think that I understood the discipline, the developer discipline, it's like long-term relations.
Right.
Because, yes. Because one of the things, the most important thing is you have to gain trust. And you have to gain trust not with some random people, with developers, that it's a very complicated audience. There are a lot of nuances and you have to know well your stuff. So if you are technical, you have that kind of vibe and you know what is working, what is not, what people are interested in, what not. And to make the things more complicated, we have this inertia in the tech side about the economy of attention. There are really a fierce competition for developers' attention. So that's why, okay, if you are doing the things that people recommend, but they have a big budget to do that kind of stuff, and yeah, you don't have this budget, you are not differentiating. You have to play with the tools you already have at your disposal. And that's why it's one of the insights I take from that, is that we are get used to things in terms of recipes, like step one, step two, step three. And recipes doesn't work in every context. And that's why it's like, okay, I get it. When you getting into the DevRel world, you need to know how other people are doing or how. But the problem is that if you literally take the same steps, but you have a different context, it doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. And it depends, doesn't it, on the developer communities that you're going to interact with, because they are also all different. Yeah. They have their own cultures, mini cultures. Yeah.
This is another problem. It's about semantics, about what people think a word means. And in the cultural context, it's also different. As I'm Spanish, community means different things than an Anglo-Saxon people. Because, yeah, for example, in United States, community have some connotations of religion, because the congregation and so on, the neighborhood, something like that. But community in Spain is different. And I think that most of the time, because DevRel in many cases are driven by marketing goals, they use the words because they think as words as a deterministic way of thinking. I mean that this word has this meaning and is universal.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, no, you have to know first the context and you have to use the words at words to get the message.
I wonder, is this an explanation for something that we see in DevRel careers, right? Which is a lot of DevRel people get accused of job hopping. So they join a company and 6 months later they leave. And I wonder, is this part of the reason that they're trying to apply a context, or the company is trying to apply a context to them that they don't see is there? They're trying to take activities or approaches that worked in the last job and apply it to the new company or the new developer community, but it's completely mismatched.
Yeah, I think we'll have to look at case by case, because I think that it makes sense what you just said, but I think it doesn't matter if it's DevRel, if it's marketing, if it's I have a quote in the book from Jules Goodward from the London Business School. And I think it's quite compelling. It's like, forget about best practices. Look for proprietary or custom practice, because you have a different context and you have to pick and choose what fits better in your context. But don't take that recipes that we already talked for granted.
So that is such a strong idea and so difficult to do, because everybody, especially in highly politicized organizations, you can hide behind best practices. Something doesn't work. Oh, yeah. Well, it was a best practice, so it's not my fault. But that comes back to the issue of leadership, because the leadership has to make it safe to have proprietary practices, to have our own way of doing things.
Yeah, and I think this one of the things that people has to take to account very early. I think if you want to apply to a position in a company, do your homework. Study the company. And if you have the feeling that C-level believes in DevRel as an investment, go for it. But, you know, everyone has their own circumstances, and maybe you have a bad season or you don't have enough money and you want to do any other things, and that's incentives. So that's why it's one of the things I don't like very much, that people complain a lot, but they hide their inner motivations. And that's why it's not realistic. And I think that, for example, let's talk about words again. Education. You listen a lot of times in DevRel messages about education. For me, it's a loud word, because education for me means a lot of things. And sometimes it's like, why don't you use training? I mean, it's better. It's not like I don't have to show you how the things work, not in the social sense, more in the technical. If it's a technical, it's a training. It's like, I don't know how to do something, let's train. And I think that kind of messaging and copies are pretty loaded and it's like mantras. They say it over and over again, and they don't test if it works or not.
Yeah, so that's a whole different topic, right? How do you know if your developer relations is working? Because a lot of it is long term, right? So you were talking about building trust, right? How do you measure trust? How do you know if you're building trust?
Can I make you a question?
Yeah.
Okay. Imagine, think about your friends, about your inner circle, okay? And I tell you, Richard, from 1 to 10, evaluate your relation with your friends. Are you able to do that? To put a number about the quality of that relation? Because I think that's the point. It's like, we are obsessed with quantified things. Because, you know, the adagio, like, if you don't measure it, you can improve it. Mm. Okay. But we have to make a distinction between quantity and quality. If you are looking for quality relations based on trust, trust takes time.
Right.
So that's why I said, if you, when you are looking for a new job in the DevRel space, you have to be sure that company thinks DevRel like an investment, because in an economic terms, if you are going to invest in something, you have to expect that, if you want to like have a safe investment, you are doing wrong. Because low interest if you want to be the safest gain, okay? But if you want to earn a lot, you have to risk a lot. And that's why I think that we have to find the common language, because we are talking as developers with many sides of the company. If you are talking to the financial department, propose the things in that terms, in financial terms, because they don't get it, they get it, and it's the communication will be more fluid. But if you try to explain yourself with your own circumstance, and you don't have to take into account that the other people maybe don't know your circumstance, doesn't work.
It's interesting that you say that, the investment, because one of the ways that I try to get away from this obsession with measurement with our clients is by focusing on the developer brand of the company, right? Does the company give a signal that it's friendly to developers, right?
Yeah.
And that you're trying to take it away from, oh, I've got so many clicks and so many views, right?
My
technical blog post got X many views, right? Which is just kind of crazy.
For example, Richard, I'm pretty sure that you are listening over and over the term engagement.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I didn't find any person that explains me in simple terms how you can translate likes and retweets and so on to engagement. There are a lot of narratives about that, but empirically, have you found any paper, any something like that? That
I do not know of a single company that they talk about measurement, right? Of a single company that measures end to end, from his sort of obsession with marketing numbers all the way to through engagement to leads to sales to outcomes, because
and also about customer journeys. Everybody knows about the funnel, and it makes sense in our heads. But the point is, take into account that there are a lot of channels nowadays. You have Discord, you have Twitter, you have email, you have a lot of things. Okay. How you can get the attribution of when the client, user, developer, whatever you call it, goes into the funnel? What was the channel? What was the path between every single person? There is no way.
And the thing that frustrates me is, you know that TV series Mad Men about the advertising guys in the 1950s, right? There are a lot of companies that will happily invest in brand, right? Coca-Cola spends billions on just brand.
Yeah,
it's okay. It's totally qualitative. It's not quantitative, right? It's totally okay to spend money on your brand and not expect to be able to measure.
Yeah, but right? People tend to make like really weird comparisons. Because, for example, big companies like Amazon, Facebook, Google, they did branding long time ago. They have like a name, a recognized name. So they play the game in another way. They don't look for more awareness or something like that.
They worry about the color, the shade of blue on the website, right?
And that's why when I saw startups try to imitate the same recipes, it's like, you don't have the muscle to compete or the
numbers or any of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Jorge, we are coming to the end, but I do have one final question or topic that I'd like to talk about. So a lot of people working in developer relations have very outward-facing roles. They're developer advocates. They produce a lot of content a lot of them are thinking about writing books. And you wrote a book.
Yeah.
Do you recommend writing a book? Was it worth it?
From an economical standpoint, no.
Yeah.
But I think it's really, really enrichment experience. You have to force you to put your ideas in order, and the best way is to write it. It's really hard, but it's very rewarding for yourself, because later when you have to explain something, if you write it previously, you are able to communicate better.
You know, that's so true. I wrote a book on microservices, and I was doing a talk in London at a conference, and my laptop would not connect to the display.
Yeah,
you know this story, right? I had the right adapters and everything, but it just wouldn't come up on the screen. And there's 300 people waiting for a talk. And I was able to give a talk with no slides, because I'd written the book.
Yeah.
Because I'd already organized the ideas. So, yeah, don't do it for money. I agree, right? There's no money in... I suppose there's a few people that make money from books, but it's not going to be you.
No. I mean,
but it helps you organize your ideas.
I hate to sound paternalistic. I really hate it, because I think that lots of people in the internet are giving advices, but I don't know if you read some of the work of like Skin in the Game,
Nassim Taleb. Yeah.
I think that most of the time, because we are, I don't know, we have this inertia of expose ourselves and projecting some kind of reputation, because I think we don't have time, but for another talk.
Oh, you're going to come back, don't worry.
Yeah. We can talk about the personal branding.
Yes.
And reputation, because I think that people are looking for reputation, but they misunderstood the personal brand stuff.
Okay. Yes. So yeah, I'm inviting you back in 6 months or a year. We can talk about personal branding, because that is a whole other topic for dev advocates for sure. Jorge, thank you so much. This has been fascinating and lots to think about. It's a frustrating industry to work in, right? But lots of fun.
It doesn't have to. If I have to say something to the audience, it's like, be more reflective, try to understand what is around you, but it doesn't have to be like, okay, don't look for a DevRel career. You can do it, but be aware of what you are doing and try to differentiate from the rest of DevRels that they are doing the same thing.
Great advice. All right. Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You can find the transcript of this podcast and any links mentioned on the podcast section of our website, voxgig.com/podcast. Subscribe to the VoxGig Developer Relations podcast on Apple, Spotify, or any podcasting platform. We publish each Tuesday and Thursday. You can also access the archive of our meetup talks on the VoxGig YouTube channel or the VoxGig website. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.